Well, there we go. We're recording. So let me begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you again for the opportunity to be joined together in mission. Each of us, Heavenly Father, as local churches, understand the importance of reaching people within our community. We also understand the importance for worldwide mission. And Lord, we thank you that we have become a part of a group of folks, a group of churches, that want to honor you by working cooperatively together to do what we cannot do by ourselves.
Yes.
Together, Heavenly Father, we're hoping for a greater impact so that the world might come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, that our neighbors and friends would be impacted by the transforming power of the gospel,
yes,
and that local churches may be strengthened and encouraged and affirmed and supported and challenged in their mission. Thank you again for this wonderful opportunity to be together. Lay a blessing upon Dave as he leads us, and for each and every mission advocate. May Heavenly Father, you continue to give grace upon grace, for we ask it in your name and for your sake. Amen.
Amen.
Dave, I turn it over to you.
Thank you, Al. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Dave.
Thanks for making the time available. There's a lot of things I could say. I'm going to try to keep time in mind. Appreciate yours is precious, and I don't want to take more of it than I need to.
Okay.
But we're just going to talk in some generalities, really, and a few specifics about mission advocacy in our local churches. And so I want to begin by simply telling you a little bit about myself. As Al said, I've been a pastor in Abcom actually since 1988 in four churches here in Maine, and now I'm in my third interim pastorate. I'm on the Mission Support Committee, which Rob chairs, and I've got a passion for mission advocacy in our local churches, and I want to tell you why. I'd always been interested in missions, even as a child, going and preparing for pastoral ministry in my schooling at college and seminary. I took as many electives in missions as I could. I felt called to pastoral ministry, but I always wanted to kind of leave room in there in case maybe God would switch up some and say, okay, yeah, Dave, I want you over there. And I'd be ready if it ever happened.
Right.
So basically, I found myself in my first church in 1982. My then wife and I felt the call to go to Nigeria in West Africa as missionaries.
Wow.
With a non-denominational mission we had become acquainted with. In order to prepare for missionary service, I had to resign my pastorate because I had to spend most of my time in preparation, involving gaining financial support, all sorts of other things that come into it. And for 2 years, I did that. And at the end of 2 years, it became obvious for financial and other reasons that this wasn't going to happen. And I had to resign that appointment. And I was crushed. I was crushed because I was so committed to it. Committed enough to leave a pastoral ministry that I loved in order to prepare for it. But as I worked through all of the spiritual and emotional issues of that, I made the decision that, okay, it seems that God was calling me to pastoral ministry in local churches. And so I would continue to do that. But I would do whatever I could as pastor in whatever church I was pastoring to make missions a priority, to make it possible for those who were called to be able to go, to be able to be supported and encouraged and prayed for and all of the rest. And that as a pastor, I would make sure that any church I pastored would be mission-minded as much as possible. But there was a problem with that. The problem was I was a solo pastor in a church. And solo pastors get involved in a number of different things. We're pulled in many different directions, as I'm sure you know. You know, whether it's a Sunday morning or Bible study or prayer or visiting the hospital or CE or administration or shoveling snow or whatever it happened to be. It was hard to really keep missions first and foremost because I had so many other things pulling me in all sorts of directions. And I remember thinking to myself, I need somebody in the church who I could work with to do some of the legwork on this and to be able to really promote missions in the church. I needed some help. At the time I thought that, I didn't even understand the term mission advocate. I just knew it would be helpful to have somebody like that. Eventually, I learned about mission advocates. And the way I learned that is I came to Court Street Baptist Church in 2006 as pastor, and they had a mission advocate named Lorna Hansen, who's on our call right now. And she had done work before I ever got there. She's still the mission advocate. And Al was bragging on Court Street in terms of our mission mindedness. And it's very much due to the fact that we had a very committed mission advocate in place. And so when I came in as pastor with already that desire to make sure it's a mission-minded church, well, it already was. And Lorna, I had the privilege of working with Lorna for the years I was there. And it was just a wonderful partnership between the two of us. And because of that, I became convinced of its importance. So as I talk to you tonight, you need to know this is real for me. This is a passion of mine that the local church, our local churches, ABCOM churches, be mission-minded churches. And one of the best ways to accomplish that, not the only way, but one of the best ways to accomplish that is to have mission advocates in our churches. So that's my background, so you can kind of get a sense of where I'm coming from on this. Give you a little history to begin with. In 1974, a man named Michael Griffiths, who was the head of a non-denominational mission sending agency, wrote a book entitled Who Sends the Missionary? And it created a little bit of a stir, especially from somebody who was he himself in charge of a sending agency. You would expect him to say, well, we send him. And he said, no, the local church sends the missionary. The local church is the bottom line of missions. About 20 years after that, our denomination, the ABC USA, approved a statement which said, and I quote, the local church is the fundamental unit of mission. I'm going to read that again. The local church is the fundamental unit of mission. And a couple years later, our denomination, ABC USA, put together a program called Mission Advocates. And they encouraged the churches throughout our country, Baptist churches, ABC churches, to have somebody in their church be a mission advocate. They produced training manuals, they had all sorts of other things, a big beginning to it. Some churches did, some churches didn't. As time went on, some of the churches that initially did, maybe the mission advocate moved on or for whatever reason kind of got dropped. But this year, our mission support committee here in ABCOM decided that we would resurrect this, that we needed to re-emphasize it, that we, in a new generation now, publicize it, make it known, suggest how it can be special, and try to find ways in order to promote this as a means of promoting missions in our church. So I've spoken, I had the joy of speaking at the West Association meeting recently about this subject. I spoke at the ABCOM banquet in September, And now I get a chance to talk to you folks, and I appreciate that opportunity. Why is this important? It's important because mission is at the very heart of everything a church does.
Amen.
That's why we exist, is it not?
Yep.
From mission. We don't exist because, gee, I'd love to have an organization. Well, the organization is important and fine, but the reason for the organization is mission. And without mission, we have no purpose.
Right.
So, mission is the heart of everything we do. It's a mandate, it's an obligation as believers in Jesus Christ to be involved in that which God wants to do in our world. And so we get to cooperate with him and work with him and be his hands and feet and mouthpieces in the world to do what he's called us to do. And every one of us in our individual local churches are in mission. We are there to work for God in our communities and around the world. Missions can be local, it can be regional, it can be national, it can be global. You may remember that Jesus told his disciples to be his witnesses where? Do you remember? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. There we have it, local, regional, national, and international. Mission-minded churches are healthy, growing churches. And if we want healthy, growing churches, missions is one of the ways in which we get there. In churches, a pastor's participation is essential, obviously. But as I said earlier, a pastor can't do it all. So lay leadership, mission committees, mission advocates, people who take an interest and really want to sink their teeth into this make all the difference in the world in a church. And I think I may be speaking to the choir this morning because the whole reason that you would sign in for this meeting this evening is probably because you agree with me that you see the importance of mission. You have interest in being used by God to help further missions awareness and support within your local church. And so, what I'm going to do in the next few minutes is just share a little bit about what mission advocates do. And I don't want to overwhelm you. I don't want you to leave this and say, I can't do all of that. Maybe you can do a portion of it. I'm giving you a big picture here. But we all are part of small churches. We are all probably, each one of you, I'm guessing, wears several hats in your church already. You're involved. And the deal is not to add more burden to you, but to give you opportunity to serve in a way that maybe you haven't been able to serve before, or you can grow in that service in your local church to do whatever it is you are able to do. No one person can do everything I'm going to tell you. No one person can know everything that you need to know.
Right.
But we do what we can do. And so please don't get discouraged if you see this whole long list and say, that's beyond me. No, it's not. No, it's not. You can do whatever part of this that God helps you to do and gives you the time and the energy to do it. So, with that in mind, what does a mission advocate do? If you have the manual we put together, and if you don't, you can get one from the AVCOM office at any time. On the section of the page that says the role of the mission advocate, you will find five tasks, five things that a mission advocate does. And if you don't have it, I'm just going to run through them real quick here, and you can get it from the church office if you need to. It's called the role of the mission advocate, the five tasks. Here we go. Number one task, it says understand. I would change the wording, I guess, now to that. Instead of understand, I would say learn or become aware of. And what I mean by that is to be an efficient advocate, you've got to know a few things. You have to have a certain amount of knowledge about what you're advocating for. That only makes sense, right? So a mission advocate needs to be intentional about this. A mission advocate needs to embark upon a program to learn more. More about what? Well, in this list I wrote here, very brief list, missiology of American Baptist churches, basic history of American Baptist mission. That doesn't mean you're becoming a missiologist or historian. It just simply means that you have some idea who we are as American Baptists, how we got here, what it is we believe, what we do. You may want to dig into that a lot, or you just maybe already know that if you've been in an ABC church for many, many years. Maybe this is all would be all review for you, and you already know, but know something about our denomination, our churches, our mission, how we do mission, a little bit of our history. We also, you should come to know what we do, and what I mean by that is what are our current missions? Who are our global servants? Who does your church support? Who does American Baptist Churches of Maine support? When you send money in to an appeal or to United Mission, what's it going to? What does it do? Who gets it? What happens to it? What is being accomplished for the kingdom of God through our missions? So, and I use the word current there. Current is very important. I've walked into a church once, I won't name it, but they had a bulletin board of our missionaries, and everything on that board was over 5 years old. Nobody had touched it, nobody had done anything for it. It needs to be current. You need to be current. You need to know what is going on as a mission advocate. You need to know a little bit about the support practices in American Baptist structure and terminology, just enough so that you understand when an appeal comes in, when you give money, and all these other things, what's going on. You understand the terminology and all of the rest. It's not hard to do, and I'll go into how you discover all those things in a couple minutes. So, first of all, is learn. Second is encourage. Be an encourager for missions in your church. You act as sort of an ambassador for the missions that you support. You might even say you're sort of a PR person in a way in your congregation to make sure people know and understand and hear about what's going on. Act as an ambassador. Be a resource for people who are seeking information. And if you don't, if somebody asks you a question and you can't answer it, just say, I'll find the answer, and then go find it and come back with that answer to tell them. I've had to do that many, many, many times. As people have asked me things, I'll say, I don't know. Then I go to the international website, ministry website, or I call Al and ask, or whatever, and I'm able to answer that person's question. So encourage the people. The third one on the list is, I think, most important, which is to communicate. And the communication goes two ways. It goes from the church to the missionary and from the missionary to the church. And we'll talk about that first, that one first. As mission advocate, you should be receiving and reading and sharing with your congregation information about what's going on from American Baptist missions and missionaries. Often, what happens is mailings from missionaries from the home office, they go to the pastor, and the pastor gets it. And you know where it ends up? On a pile of stuff on his desk. And then maybe once a month, or I might go through that, and it probably ends up by then. Oh, well, that was passed, so I'll just throw that out now. Mission advocate should be the person to receive all that stuff along with the pastor so that you know what's going on. If the Bill and Ann Clemmer send out a newsletter, make sure you're on the mailing list to get that so that you get it as well as the pastor, that you know what is going on at any given time. So receive, read, and share and share information in many ways. We'll talk about that in a minute. Tell an American Baptist mission stories, historical and current. The best way to promote anything I've discovered is to tell stories. Everybody loves a good story. So learn them. Learn what's going on so that you can tell what is going on today. Interpret United Mission, which we'll talk about in a moment. Encourage participation in the four annual offerings. Does your church receive all four annual offerings? Is it promoted? How is it being promoted? Who promotes it? How effective is that promotion? Those are all things that a mission advocate would be thinking through to try to find ways to promote each one of them. And we'll talk about them individually again in a moment. The fourth task I put there is ask. Yourself, of course, pray for American Baptist missions, but seek prayer for American Baptist missions from your church. If your church has a prayer list, if the church has a prayer meeting, if there any time you hear of a particular need among the missions that we support, make sure that it gets on that list and make sure that it gets prayed for. And seek faithful and increased support of American Baptist mission endeavors. That's a nice way of saying, don't be afraid to ask for money for offerings. Missions exist because people give. And you need to do that and be unashamed about doing that. So that's part of it. And then the last one I put, serve, just simply means be intentional about this. Make it important to you. And mentor others. Gather a group around you if you can't do everything. Have others help you with it. If you've got a mission committee, work very closely with that mission committee. Those are just basic roles of what a mission advocate does. And as I wrote at the bottom there, every church is unique. Every advocate is unique. There's no one size fits all for mission advocates. Those are just some basic categories to get you started in evaluating your mission program in your church. How well are those things being done? And how can we do them better? And how can I participate as a mission advocate in that process? Okay, I'm going to just keep running right along here. So we'll go on to the next one on my list, which is an explanation of financial giving. That's something a mission advocate needs to understand at least the basics of. And it's under stewardship information on your training manual, if you have that. How does ABCOM fund it? As you can read there, if you have it, ABCOM is funded through United Mission, which is the basic mission pot, if you will, of our denomination. When you send money into quote-unquote missions that is undesignated, it goes into what's called United Mission. United Mission is a partnership between regions and the parent denomination. Through United Mission, 65% of what's given stays in Maine. We're also funded by the America for Christ offering, one of the four offerings that we receive. A third of that stays in Maine. Sometimes you will receive appeals from ABCOM for a regional offering. 100% of what you give will stay in Maine. And then there's through online giving and specific designated gifts. You can give directly to ABCOM, and 100% of that stays in Maine. Plus, we have endowments and other things. But that's basically how Maine Baptists are funded. The primary source is a United Mission. And I describe it there. It's basically all undesignated monies that are sent in. It goes into a pot. There is a covenantal relationship between ABC USA and the regions. And as I said before, 65% stays here. The rest goes to the parent denomination, and they apportion it in various different ways. So that's United Mission. If you send mission money in and don't designate it for a specific purpose, that's where it goes. That's what happens to it. In addition to that, United Mission, which we should be doing systematically, I hope, all of us as churches, there are four annual offerings that take place. America for Christ offering, or AFC, is received usually in February or March. It funds the home missions programs of our denomination. It is administered by the American Baptist Home Mission Society. One third of that offering come back to the region, or I should say stay in the region. But they fund all the things that home missions does, like neighborhood ministries and chaplaincies and education and Native American ministries. And there's a whole list of them. You can go to their website and find out all of the ways that that money is used. The second is called the One Great Hour of Sharing, OGHS, it's usually referred to. And this is an offering that we receive normally around June, somewhere in that time frame. And gifts to America, One Great Hour of Sharing support disaster relief, ministries to displaced persons, and development projects around the world. So when there's a typhoon somewhere, that's the money that we use to be able to send to help in that devastation. And it's done all through the year, internationally and locally. One mistake on here that I want to correct, especially as a new board director of the International Ministries, is it says on what I wrote here that it's administered by the what's where I'm trying to find
World Relief Committee.
World Relief Committee, but it's not. The World Relief Committee actually works not under the General Ministries of the ABC USA. It works under the International Ministries. And it looks like it's very possible I'm going to be put on that committee. So I'm looking forward to being a part of the committee that decides how One Great Hour of Sharing monies are apportioned. So that's in June. Usually in the fall, September, October, we receive the World Mission Offering, which is the offering that goes to our international ministries and supports our global partners and our global servants. And then the last is the Retired Ministers and Missionaries Offering, RMMO. This is under the auspices of the Ministers and Missionaries Benefit Board. And this offering continues a long tradition which supports ministers and missionaries and their widowed spouses who have retired and have needs in two ways. One is that every retired missionary, and I am one, so I received this year my annual check. It's a love gift. Depending on how much money is given, they apportion it out to all of us, and we get a love gift in December. And also for if there are emergency situations, where a retired minister, a missionary, or spouse has a deep financial issue, this money can be used to help them as that happens. So those are the four regional offerings. United Mission undergirds it all. And then, of course, there's the regional ABCOM offering, or individual gifts sent to support ABCOM. And churches and individuals can do that. Work with your church treasurer. If you need more information about how all of that works in the nuts and bolts, talk to our ABCOM treasurer, Sharon Workman, and she'll be able to help lead you through that, or check with the ABCOM office. A mission advocate should have knowledge of these things because you're the person that's going to be promoting them. And when people ask you, well, how does this work? That's a brief and very brief overview of how it works. Okay, I'm going to move on. Next, I want to look at, I've mentioned you need to be knowledgeable of things, and the big question is, well, how do I do that? Where do I get information? And in the manual, there is a page entitled Sources of Current Mission Information. And just run down really briefly. You can get information on any of this th things you need from the American Baptist Churches of Maine. I include their mailing address, phone number. You know, you're here, so you're already connected in terms of how to get in touch there. Make sure you're familiar with the website. The website is a great resource to learn things. Anyway, if your question is something that Al or Sharon or somebody else, Melissa or somebody else can answer, check with our with American Baptist Abcom office. The American Baptist Churches USA, our parent denomination, address, phone number are all listed there. They have a website. It would do you good to just look at that website and peruse through it from time to time. It's updated. It tells you things that are going on in our parent denomination. Likewise, the American Baptist Home Mission Societies, if you have a question about home missions, they have their own website and own phone numbers and so forth. The contact information is there. And you can check and see what is going on there. If you need current information about something that's going on for a church program you're doing, go there and see what's going on and all sorts of resources. International ministries for our global partners and global servants, again, the information is there. International Ministries has their own website, internationalministries.org. That is, I can tell you, kept very, very up to date. So if you want saying to yourself, well, I wonder what's going on with the Kochmans right now, and you hadn't received anything for a while, perhaps, you go to that website, you type in their name, and you will find the latest journal from Peter and Nora Kochman in terms of what's going on right now. You can keep checking back on whatever individual or particular mission you want, and you'll have contact information there if you want to actually contact that individual. It's all right there, and it's very easy to navigate. And I would really encourage you to do so. And lastly, there's individual communication, and that is personal letters and emails. Do the missionaries you support know you? Well, they should, and they will if you contact them, if you stay in contact with them, if you get on their mailing lists, if you write them back or give them an email. I find social media, with all of the horrible stuff about social media that's out there, is a marvelous tool for keeping in touch with missionaries. And just as an example, if your church is interested in Bill and Ann Clemmer, by all means, have somebody who's on Facebook follow them or friend Ann. She puts on something almost every single week,
Yes, she does.
normally a video of what is transpiring right now in her life. It's fabulous.
It is.
International Ministries has its own Facebook page, and they have put things on several times a week. Like I say, as much as social media gets a deserved bad rap at times for things, it is very, very helpful in keeping in touch and knowing what's going on. And you can reply, as you know, for instance, on Facebook, so they get to know who you are. And just strengthens that relationship between you and your church. So I would really highly encourage that. And one more major topic before I take a breath. And that is, let's get practical. What are some ways to promote missions in your church? There's a page in your manual that should say suggestions for ways to promote mission in your church. And you know what my answer to that question, first of all, is any way you can.
Yes.
Any way you can. Do anything, do everything, whatever, but do something. How do you promote mission in your church? It's not going to just happen by osmosis. Somebody has to take the ball and actually do the work of promoting missions in your church. As a mission advocate, that's you. And so, what are some of the ways you can do? I wrote down on this list a mere fraction of the ways that you can do this, but it might stimulate your thinking. Probably many of your churches are already doing these things. Maybe they're not. Maybe there's something that piques your interest and say, you know, I think we could do that. I think that would be helpful in our context, in our church. For instance, on this list, I wrote a newsletter and/or email list. Not every church has newsletters anymore like they used to. But many have an email list. And if you have an email list where information is being shared with your congregation, you can use that to promote the missions in your church and keep it front and center in people's mind and get to a lot of the people. I mentioned a bulletin board earlier. I happen to like those. I'm maybe one of those rare people that when I walk into a church, I look at the bulletin boards. And in my own church, especially when I was part of Court Street Baptist Church, because I knew Lorna kept it current, it was in the vestry of the church. And I'd walk by and see if there was a new letter or a new picture or something of the sort. And so I can keep current that way. Mission moments within the worship service. Obviously, work with your pastor on this, but sometimes some churches will have mission moments only during the promotion of the offerings that they do, which is fine. That's better than not. But how about between those offerings? Mission moments in a church where you or somebody you designate. I think it's better than the pastor doing it, quite frankly, to have a layperson come up and share a mission moment, something you've just heard about, something you just received in the mail, something you just read on social media that you know the congregation would be interested in and would help them stay current in their praying and motivate them in terms of their mission-mindedness. Bulletin inserts. Simple to do. Some are produced by the denomination. You can check with them and see what resources you can just print off from them or make your own. Special programs. Last month, I had the joy of participating with a church. Actually, it was this month. That's right. We're still in January, right? Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. This month earlier, I had the occasion to be invited to a church that had a missions emphasis weekend. And on Saturday night, they had a banquet. And I was invited to come and share a little bit about the biblical basis of missions. And then the next Sunday, they had Bill and Ann Clemmer with them. A mission banquet. Court Street has done that for years, and it's been very, very effective. Special Bible study series. All sorts of different things, special programs. Here's one, hosting your missionaries. How important is this? When we used to have a mission support person on staff, when missionaries would come and make the circuit of speaking, that individual was able to let the churches in Maine know that they were coming and would schedule them in various churches. Well, we don't have a person doing that work anymore. Which means you have to keep your eyes and ears open. But oftentimes you will find communications from an ABCOM office that will say, so and so is going to be in the state if you would like to host them, or if your church has a particular relationship with a missionary and they know they're coming to you, your church, because you've established that relationship, invite the association churches in your association to join with you, or maybe hold it in a different church. I hear sometimes people say, well, we're just a small church. They don't want to come to us. That is absolutely not true. Yes, you may be a small church. That does not matter to our global servants and others who come through. If there's a group of people who are willing to meet with them and willing to hear from them and converse with them and get to know them, they will be there. So never, never, never say, well, my church is too small to do that. See what you can do, especially if you establish relationships with missionaries. You can do that very, very easily. When you know they're coming back to the States, hey, are you going to be in Maine? When is it going to be? Can we get on your schedule? And then share that with other churches as well. The wonderful thing about technology is we now have the ability to FaceTime and Zoom meetings with our missionaries. Have you thought about doing that? Gathering people together on a particular evening in the church fellowship hall, set up the electronics. Somebody in church, your church, will know how to do that, even if you don't. And schedule it, recognizing, of course, time differences and everything else. But our missionaries are very, very willing to do that, very willing to engage in a time of face-to-face, even though it's not in person, with your church. It takes planning, takes a little bit, but it's worth it, and it can be done. One way, of course, another way is to think about short-term mission experiences, which means people in your church going to the mission field for a week, for 2 weeks. I've done them. Many of our main churches have had groups go to La Romana, and the people who do and come back establish relationships that are special. I got to tell you this story, just a quick aside, but I think you'll hopefully find it interesting. This past week, I was at my initial board of directors meeting for international ministries. And one of the new board members along with me was this fellow named Jesus Garcia. He was from Puerto Rico, but he moved to the U.S. 5 years ago. He's now ministering in New London, Connecticut. Anyway, we were talking, and he says, where are you from? You know, so forth. I'm from Maine. He goes, Maine, do you know Mac Ray? And I said, Mac Ray, I was his mentor when he was studying for the ministry. He's in West Falmouth, at Mountainside Community Church. He's the pastor there. I know him very, very well. And Jesus says, well, he and a few from his church came down to our church in Puerto Rico for a week, and I hosted him. And we email back and forth still to this day. I thought that was so cool. I thought that was really special. A mission trip can establish a relationship with a particular ministry or a church that is just absolutely mind-blowing. So I suggest that to you. And if you want all sorts of ideas, I want to suggest to you, and this is in the bottom of that page, a wonderful book called How to Be a World-Class Christian, Becoming Part of God's Global Kingdom, by a fellow by the name of Paul Borthwick, who is a New Englander, who has written this wonderful book about all sorts of things. But the final part of the book is entitled 100 Extraordinary Ways to Participate in God's Global Purpose. And they're just all sorts of little ideas that you could build on and come up with. One of the ones that jumped out at me as I was looking at it again today, he says, he gets up in the morning, and when he puts his clothes on, He looks at the tag in his shirt to see what country it was made in. And then he prays for that country that day. Oh, that was kind of different. It's kind of off the wall things, but they can make a difference in mission mindedness. That's really the bulk of what I wanted to say. Let me get back to my page here. I think what I'll do is close it off there. It's difficult to have discussion here, and it's already close to an hour, and I don't want to keep you longer than that. But please know that any questions that came up, you can contact me, you can contact Al, you can contact Melissa, anything that you need further in information. And pay attention to the messages from the ABCOM office that come, because they're going to talk about a couple more things regarding mission advocates in the banquet that we're going to have, as well as the George Dana Boardman Award. I hope I got that right, Al. And
Yes.
sign up sheets and application forms and all of the rest. Make sure you avail yourself of them. And any questions along those lines, you can check with the ABCOM office.
In
So I'm
your
going to
chat,
jump back. Go ahead.
Dave, as you've been talking and you were touching on things, as you hit a note I put up on the chat box, kind of the place where you can find that information. So
Good.
there's lots of email, lots of websites, lots of links in the chat box. If you copy that chat box, you'll have almost everything that Dave has talked about. Spend some time getting familiar with some of those sites. The last thing you talked about was international ministry projects and also short and long-term missions. I put the links into the chat
Good.
box for that. So there's lots of information that I've been putting up as you've been talking, Dave. Thank you so much for your presentation. There's links to the manual. There's links up there for the mission form. And as mission advocates become more cohesive as a whole, there will be a mission advocate webpage on the ABCOM website
Good.
that will give all the information that mission advocates are looking for and asking for. So we're
Thank
going to be developing that in the days to come. But I've tried to do as much as I can over here on the chat box side. Just copy it, and you should have a lot of information. And Dave, thank you so much.
Terrific. And thank you, everybody, for being there. If it's okay and appropriate, I would like to close us off in prayer, unless you have any other announcements, Al, or anything.
Just that, keep April 25th for the George Dana Boardman luncheon. And please have your church send in a nomination. If they nominate someone, we're expecting that your church would provide a table to come and cheer your advocate on. And all the information for that is on the website, so, or in that link. And I've posted that. You can go right to the ABCOM homepage, and you'll see on the bottom of that page all that kind of information, Dave. Thank you.
Okay, terrific. And I want to thank all of you before you all sign off, before I pray, for your interest, for taking the time this evening. And if I can be of any service to anybody going forward, please let me know. Let's pray together. Almighty God, you want to reach this world for Jesus Christ, and you want to use us. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be your instruments to accomplish your purposes here, locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. I pray, Lord, for everybody who has been a part of this tonight. Speak to them, Lord, if they are questioning whether this is something that they can do, something they want to get involved in. Something they can sink their teeth in, something that you're calling them to. And I pray, Lord, that you would reveal your will in this to each one. We pray for our mission and the missions that we support. We pray for those who are in danger. We pray for those for whom it's very, very difficult to be ministering right now. We pray, Lord, for our global servants, our home missions, our regional ministers. We pray, Lord, that you would use us all for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together tonight. Guide and direct in our lives from this time forward until you call us home. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
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 God bless you all. Thank you.
You as well. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night. Night all.
Sleep well. Good Sleep night. Well.
Good night. Thank you. You too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yay.
I don't know how to get off this.